It's the Dirty Sheets, ladies and gentlemen. You've been waiting all week, and we're here to give you earhole pleasure. I'm Cav Manning. I am from the Wrestlingus Show, or the Lingus Mafia podcast, whichever one. You can find all my nonsense. Just type in Lingus Mafia on X, and you could be linked to everything else there. I am with your number one source for all of your wrestling news, and he is packing as we speak, and he is on his way next Monday to Mania, well, Mania Week, which will commence, and he will do all of the fun-filled stuff, which we will be talking about here and leading in. We did a show pretty much off-air, which we were like, we should have started the fucking show. There was a lot of shit-talking on people, but that's Billy Boddy.
Yeah, I don't think the show is going to be as good as the show before the show. But Cav should just press record, and then if he needs to edit, if he needs to like pick a starting point, he should do that, I think.
Well, I mean, I wasn't recording all the stuff beforehand.
I know, exactly. So I mean, just push record. Like sometimes Raw starts about the music when they get to it and go like, oh, we had this incident like backstage and then come through. Or as we saw this week, Roger carries on afterwards. It doesn't matter. There's no cut. He said, there's no cuts. Fuck your script.
Oh my God. The Rock this week. Like I've said on multiple shows, I owe him an apology because I'm not a big fan, like in regular life. Like what the Mr. Jolly Rock, where it's always the smile and you're like, this is so phony. You know, it's always, you know, with a laugh and a smile and life is lovely and whatever. I don't care. But my God, this shit that he is giving us, where recently now he's been putting shit out on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And it's the end of the Raw segment. If you have not seen it, to the people, end of the Rock segment, and it's someone, which is probably Gerwitz, right? It's someone videotaping the camera crew, taping what we saw. And then you hear, I said, this is brilliantly planned out ahead of time. It's so brilliant. And they go, okay, we're off air. We're done. And you expect them to go, okay, we're done. And Rock continues, and he goes, fuck that. Just because we're off TV, you think this fucking stops? And he's cursing. And he's like, this don't stop. Fuck this. And he's beating the shit out of Cody some more, wiping more blood. He's like, I'll see you at Mania, this fucking bullshit. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's fucking great. I said, this, I'm telling you, right, weren't we, like, a little distraught that, you know, Vince's creation, Vince got booted out and whatever he did and all this shit. And you were like, well, Vince made it. It's kind of an end of an era. And you're a little bit sad because we come from the world of Vince created this. It's his, all that kind of stuff. Billy, I'm so happy Vince is gone. I am in the camp 100%. Thank God Vince is gone. But before Vince was gone, I wanted him gone. Before anything ever came out, I wanted him to fucking retire. And when he quote unquote retired, I said, thank God. Meanwhile, he was still, you know, mailing shit into fucking Bruce. And you could see it wasn't, you know, fully gone. He's fully fucking gone.
Yeah, he's fully gone, and I still don't think we would have what we're having unless The Rock came on board. And as you know, we always point out here, while these other fucking idiots are giving you the fucking injuries at TNA and the contract renewals and who produced segments on AEW fucking Collision, we're actually talking about the real fucking shit that people want to know about. And I was telling you that this guy came in mainly seen as a publicity stunt, where, you know, they gave him some shares, they gave him some money, they wanted him to come back and wrestle, they wanted him to be an ambassador that got the Netflix deal over the line, whatever. He said, fuck that. Like, if I'm gonna, it's very reminiscent to when I got offered a porn show. And it's like, yeah, hold on a minute. Like, and I was a name at the time in the country as being a bad, you know, a bad guy. But I was like, no, actually, I watch porn. I know about porn. Like, I want to make my own porn the way I want to make it. I want to do what I like to watch.
You missed the boat on the massage, like, though.
Oh yeah. Well, I wasn't. It wasn't a massage. It wasn't like that. Wasn't that couldn't relate to me, but casting couch porn could relate to me. And I was like, I was like, I like the porn where the girls are kind of like, no, I don't want to do this. Like, why do I have to do this? Or what happened? Or what am I going to get?
No,
what
you
am
like I going to get if I do this?
But yeah, like it was, you know, so I said, like, let's link this porn more closely to Big Brother. Let's not have these fucking, just, they were like, oh, we have a guest. They're in the porn industry, and they were like, oh, all we want you to do is just have guest co-host of you every week, and it'd be from Big Brother. And like, and do what? And I'm like, oh, you know, you're just there, like, choosing, like, what you want the girl to wear. And I was like, it's boring. Like, I don't want to watch this, and I'm in it. So I said, let's do this idea. Let's like get like brand new girls. Like, do you have girls that are not overexposed? I don't want to use Terry Louise. I don't want to use Delta White. These were the established porn girls at the time. I said, I don't want any of this. Like, I want girls that are coming through, thinking about doing porn on webcam, you know, on the fence, this kind of thing. So essentially, I wanted to do it my way, whereas they just wanted me to be quiet. Just wanted me to come in, use my name, and get some publicity. And I was like, no. Let's make a really good porno. That's what he's doing. He's coming in, and he's like saying, yeah, if I put my name to this shit, it can't be the fucking crap that you've been churning out for 20 years. Because I think that's what he thinks it is. Like, and he would be right for the most part. So instead of like just putting his name to it, he's come in and made changes. And I'm the only fucking person that clearly said, you're going to see a staggered approach when it comes to booking these hours. And if you watched on television this week, and this is not the Wrestling Informer, but we stumbled into a story and something that I know about, Drew McIntyre said PG brother to Punk and Rollins this week during a segment, right? Where, Punk said something and Drew said, we're PG brother. So that was actually a dig at the fact that they had started a segment at 8:53 your time. I'm thinking it's my time. I think it's only my time is different, but we get back on the same time as you this week because our clocks go forward. So we're back. I can't remember what way it is.
You fall back, you spring forward.
We're gonna, yeah, okay. So we'll be on the same time again, 8 hours difference again.
Yeah.
But essentially, that's what you probably think I'm doing the show really late. Yeah, I think I'm doing it normal time.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So here it's a 7 hour gap at the moment. So, I was wondering about that, but yeah. So when he said that, it's because they are doing a staggered approach, but the one unwritten rule is that if you're going to start something in the 8 o'clock hour, you have to assume, and the whole point of doing it, and the point of actually having Punk go out, you know, with 10 minutes to go before that hour, and having, so instead of having him, what they used to do was having come out, you know, at 57 minutes past and say, CM Punk after the break. They knew the segment was going to be longer than that. So they actually kept the people from quite early on and then kept them going into the 9 o'clock hour. So the idea was to have Punk come out at 10:02 and then the segment concludes at what? Close to 10 past. So that means you hold that audience. But if you do that and you go for that rating on that quarter hour or that overlap from 8 till 9, you do have to fall under the PG umbrella because you started at the PG time slot, which is the one thing. So if you want to use the segment to hold an audience, which is what they wanted to do, but you do start it in the hour that you've already decided to say, hey, look, we have to have one PG hour, then the continuation of that segment has to continue to be PG, if that makes sense. So yeah, it 8 till 9 is PG, but if you start before 9, you're still PG and it can't change just when you go past because you have to assume that some kid somewhere turned around and said, oh, mummy, I still want to, I know it's bedtime, but I go to bed at 9, but can I just stay until the end of the segment? They'll be like, yeah, but as soon as this is done, like, you have to go to bed. Like, that, some fictitious fucking family I just made up. But that's probably the thinking behind that. So So yeah, that's how that one works, and that's why Drew probably chucked that line out there where he said PG brother, because they actually were supposed to be PG. But everything else after that point didn't have to be. And then we saw the end of the show, which definitely wasn't PG. And as you guys should be thankful for, again, that was given to you before the fact, not afterwards, because any motherfucking lying prick can now come on. Any fraud can now come on and say, oh, WWE are doing this and WWE aren't going to be PG anymore now after 11. Well, no fucking shit, Sherlock Meltzer. Like, we fucking watched him wipe someone's blood onto a belt this week and say fuck like multiple times, which they, you know, they shouldn't be blurring out, but USA Network still are. But obviously, yeah, we've seen the full version. We've seen the full version on Twitter because people have filmed it inside the arena. The only reason that's cut out is because Raw's not actually live. It's 7 seconds behind. And it needs to be when The Rock's on there. But at the same time, it doesn't need to be because they can air whatever the fuck they want after 7. So after 10 o'clock. So, you know, there needs to be a coming together with WWE and USA to say, hey, look, stop fucking bleeping out that shit because it's after 10. So this is what we're going to be doing now. So that's it. Like, unless, you know, they do that on all shows in America after 10 o'clock, which I don't think that they do, because I've heard shit and fuck on multiple things. Mm. If you re-air, I don't know, fucking Scarface, if you re-air Scarface at 10 p.m., I'm pretty sure all the words are still in there.
No.
So
they don't hear. It's like, it's a shock when AEW, they were saying shit. That was like a big shock here. Like, oh my God, they're allowing shit. They will never allow,
so
like,
you show
fuck.
Scarface. So if you show Scarface on television, there's no fuck in there.
Oh, there won't be a fuck in there, no. Not unless it's like HBO or something.
Are you joking?
No. 100%.
So on American television, you can't swear?
No, not at all. I mean, like I said, shit was a shock. That's extremely rare.
But surely you have a watershed where you can say whatever you want. Like, that's what we have over here.
Oh, I don't know what a watershed is, but like HBO.
A watershed.
Go ahead.
So a watershed is a time where you can where there's different times where you can show different things. But the weirdest thing is, our watershed ends. The late night watershed ends at 5 a.m. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have UFC over here. So when the fighters are doing their interviews, all you hear is, I want to thank my blood and no silence. And then it goes, and I went out there and I gave it my effort and blood, like, stop the silence. Like, the interviews are fucking horrendous. When Conor McGregor was talking after he won fights, they basically had to mute the entire thing. And you just heard like 2 or 3 words here and there. And people were going fucking crazy. So basically every time Conor fought and won his fights, it was after 5 a.m. in the morning, which would have been, you know, because after it's maths here, like, nice, obviously after 9 p.m. in Vegas. So, yeah, like, we never heard his interviews, like, fully. We never had a clue what the fuck he was saying because it went past the watershed, which ends at 5 a.m. So,
yeah, there is none of that here. It's like they say, like, the 10 o'clock hour or whatever might be a little more lax, but that is like maybe the word shit, maybe. And then they would say ass more. There is not a fuck area. I mean, George Carlin has a thing about, you know, the 7 dirty words you can't say on TV. And it's only if it's like a premium cable, like as in HBO, Showtime, Cinemax. That's the kind of shit you could have regular movies on and show, but on USA or TNT and any of that stuff, and they're playing movies? No, not at all.
So I think that'll be something that will change when Netflix gets it,
yes.
I think.
Netflix, you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want. You're paying for a service. A matter of if they will or not, because they're, you know, still with the kids, you know, they can't fully be like, well, fuck your kids. But you could do the after hours deal for them where you'd be like, well, that last hour, parents be warned, and we're on a pay service. Nobody could say shit. I mean, literally, nobody could tell us shit, you know, one of those things. It's going to be a fine line, I guess, but because they're still with the kids, you know, like Cody's out there, you know, kissing babies. And then it's Rock saying fuck. So it's going to be a fine line. Do the kids watch that part and want to see their hero the whole way, but then their hero's bleeding, and do they want the kids to see that? So it's a very, it's going to be a hell of a tightrope. I'm looking forward to the Netflix stuff now that we're getting, you know, better shit like this.
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a plethora of stories. Like, we've done a lot of the stuff on Informer, and there actually hasn't been as much week to week throughout the week. But everything we have done, I mean, Informer's enough, because you're getting the news and you're getting the right news, because everything week to week has been correct from way back when Bayley was winning the Rumble. Okay, Punk was changed. Okay, like Cody, the whole Cody Rock thing and everything leading to that was changed as well. I actually have more clarity on what that was supposed to be.
I got a question for you. And I'll talk.
Go on.
What do you think of the thought of one only one part makes me think that it's not true, but you know how we always say, wow, this is the best fuck up WWE has done, where it was Rock, it was going to be Roman, and everybody had a backlash, so they went, fuck, we got to pivot, and now look what we've gotten. Do you think it's possible they said, let's do this because we fucking know that they will freak out, and they knew exactly where they were going the entire time, and it was never a plan for Rock and Roman because they knew that this is where they were going, and they could use it almost as a storyline excuse. The only reason I don't think it is because it was a horrible explanation. I think they would have had a better explanation.
Well, you kind of shit on some information I got this week, so I'm going to have to, I'll spill it here. But you know what? The people are paying anyway, so it doesn't make
any
difference.
Yes, they are. They're paying at this point. Well, there it is. To hear the rest of the show and what is Billy going to spill, make sure you sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to thedirtysheets.com if you have Android and hear the rest of the show. The show is over an hour and 20 minutes long, so there is plenty that Billy goes off about, including Sean Ross Sapp, of course, and cocaine and some other stuff going into Mania and the plans that he has going into Mania. So that's it. Go sign up. Talk to you later.